right. Top three ways, Halloween edition.
Halloween edition.
That workplace violence.
Yep. Top three ways Joe was almost unalived as a safety manager.
Yep. Top three workplace violent events I worked.
Here we go. Let's roll into it.
Let's go.
Halloween edition.
Halloween edition. Here we go. Top three ways workplace violence events I was actually part of as a manager.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of events over the years and people ask me what were some of the crazy stuff I dealt with. So we thought, you know what? Cover a couple of them today.
Yeah. This is the workplace violence one.
Yeah.
Not the tornado that you were
fires,
in,
explosions,
the
ammonia
yeah.
leaks, chemical leaks, none of those.
Yeah. Terrible boat wrecks.
No, this is just me as a manager saying hello during an event and figure out how I'm going to manage it.
Yeah.
Now, here we go. So the first one is, I am sitting in there. I get up that morning, go to work, having a great day because we work in the safety office where I worked. I had HR there. So the higher patrol comes in and says, we need to see such and such. And they come into office and some of the HR wasn't there yet. So they say, can you help? I said, sure. I'm not thinking what they're asking for, what they're doing. And
right.
they say to me.
Which, by the way, that does happen.
It does happen.
So it's not like, why are you here? Like, we know there's a problem. It's getting ready to be a terrible
right.
day.
So they say to me. Can you find such and such? So I look up in Kronos, can't find the person clocked in. I said, I don't think they're here. And they said, well, they're here. And they pointed
their,
out.
Their vehicles in the parking lot.
Their vehicles out there. And they had been in an event where it hurt somebody really, really badly. They were looking for that person because basically they had fled the scene. And so they say to me, where are they at? I said, I don't know. They're not here. They're here. So I call the person's family and I ask if they're at work. And they're like, yes, they are. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, I guess they're here. And they said, what do you normally work at? That table out on the production floor.
Fab floor.
Yeah. And they were like, can you go get him?
And if you know anything about the fab floor?
They're big and there's a lot of people.
There's a lot of knives.
So they said, can you go get the guy? And I look at him like, well, there's four of you here and you have bulletproof vests on and lots of
weapons.
Training. I'm wearing a polo shirt and a pair of Wrangler jeans. And I was like, what am I supposed to do?
It's not the right PPE for the job.
Get him. So they wouldn't go to the floor. So they go out to the side of the floor. I walk on the floor. Everybody's kind of looking around at me like something's going on, but no one's
sure. Something's going down.
Then all of a sudden I walk around the corner and I see the guy. And what he looks like, those you want to know, is...
Because he's on the fab floor. So what we do on a fab floor is we teach people how to use knives really well because that's their job. It's a meat production facility, and we teach him to use it amazingly.
Yeah, this guy just standing there with both of them in his hands, just staring at me.
Yeah, he's got a steel.
Hey, just looking at me.
Sharpening away.
And everybody else gets away from him. We're all wearing mesh and... Kevlar and everything else.
Yeah, they got their sleeves, like, they got their aprons on, belly guards.
I'm wearing this rated polo shirt. And long story short, as we did that, they said, okay, can you go get him? So I walked
up there.
So
what are you thinking in your mind when you're walking up?
I can't believe this is my day.
Well, it could go one of two ways.
Yeah, and I'm standing there trying to decide, what's this person going to read? So what
is the words that you use?
So that's the thing everybody needs to know.
Keep it from getting violent.
I used to be in the military, and if I learned nothing else, you have to stay calm during that moment. And that's the best thing I did.
Well,
I walked up very politely.
Part of it is also is the mindset of what's going on with that individual. He knew why you were there.
That's correct.
And he had just committed a very violent act.
Right. So I said to him,
that's volatile.
Hello? I'm Joe. I'm the safety manager, and I just need you to step down if you don't mind, please. And please, could you put your knives and stuff down? Because I was polite, because I was nice, that person literally said, hey, Joe, put all their stuff down. They turned around, they stepped on the table, and they walked around the corner. Now, you all understand that I didn't think all this was going to go down this way.
No.
My emotions are crazy. I'm trying to, you know, everyone's looking at me. I got
your
hundreds of people.
Like palpitations.
Yeah, and I'm just like...
Trying
to
breathe.
I hope I get through this. And then when I am walking, because there's no one else around me walking, you still got hundreds of other people with their knives still looking at you. And you're hoping, like, I hope they don't have a friend or someone's out.
Yeah, I have no idea. Do they have other family members?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. So anyway, around the corner. But the point is that one, I never believed in my career that would ever happen.
It's not something that you go to any kind of class typically, and they're like, hey, this could happen.
Right. But
as a safety manager. I mean, but it can, yeah.
I never thought as a manager that would be my role to go do that process. I always thought that was somebody else's. I mean, you got to remember, yeah. I didn't grow up in industry. I grew up in the military world.
Well, in the ranching world. In the ranching world.
But when you grow up, when you go to the plant, you're thinking it's just a certain way things are going to be. You don't think about that.
There's a lot of different people with a lot of different backgrounds and a lot of different things going on in their personal lives.
Absolutely.
And you have no idea.
You don't.
What that person's walking in. So what I said after that was,
hey, wait, can we get some training? Can we take the people who've only worked there a few months and give them training on what to do and what not to do? Because I didn't know. If I had not been for the military, if it had not been for staying calm like that, I don't know how to hold down.
Yeah.
So that's a scary one. Yeah, it's the first one. All right, here we go. Now the second one.
That's why we have this guy here too.
Yeah, we have our little cow here. If anybody can't see, this is the big guy here. He's a little, anyway. All right, so here we go. Now the next one is number two. So someone goes into the HR.
Why were you always the person?
Yeah, where's the safety guy at? Because from being from Oklahoma, I'm like, whatever, he's a safety guy. So Oklahoma, so that's where I came from. Anyway, the point is, I'm a safety guy. They're like, can you go to the locker room? Sure.
What locker room, yeah, though?
I'm thinking, okay, I start walking down the hall.
Like, what's
I'm
going on?
I'm thinking somebody's got a medical event.
We have lockout, tagout locks on the lockers.
Yeah,
I'm thinking,
no one said any of that. They're just like, hey, can you come to the locker room real quick? I'm like, hey, no problem. So I get up. You know,
you should have had a red flag when they're like the women's locker room.
Yeah, but they didn't say it at the beginning. So same outfit, right? Some kind of polo, some kind of jeans. And I go and they're like, no, not that locker room, that one. I'm like, well, that's the women's locker room. I'm not going in there. Like, no, you got to. So I step in there. And for those of you who don't know, some people don't leave the knives on the floors. And there was two people in there having a disagreement.
An aggressive disagreement
with the knives, and being a former medic, their view was I was a safety person, I was a manager, and I'd been a medic, so I was the best choice to go deal with whatever
out of everybody.
Was going in here. Yeah. Yeah. So I walk in there, and I've got all these people looking at me, including those two people, and I again talked to them.
It was an aggressive disagreement about a man's.
Yes, so I said hello, I'm Joe, and that somehow became my line because I learned out the other man. Be polite, say your name first. And they both looked at me with the knives facing me. And
they're
like,
are we going to put our differences aside and take it out on this man?
Then I realized.
Who was the center of our problem to begin with.
Then I realized that moment what was going on. Because I didn't know until they turned and looked at me. Because I don't understand what they're saying. I just know they're mad. And anyway, long story short, yes, there's some other things that happen about it. But you don't know when you walk in. You're walking to a locker room. You're not ready for that. You're walking in a time of day and thinking about it. You're thinking you're going for a medical event.
You're also not thinking there's going to be weapons in the locker room necessarily.
And when you walk into those events,
there's bystanders.
Yeah, you get 15 seconds to try to figure out what you're going to do and what decision you're going to make. Because at that moment, all that aggression is moving and you're trying to calm it down.
And then they
all
turned it on you.
And then they looked at me with the knives pointed at me. Yes. So that was scary too. But you know what? It's weird because that one should have been scarier, but it actually was because I'm more scared of the other one. So I was like, well, at least I can back out of here or something. I don't know. But anyway, that's how that one goes. All right, so here's another one. So now we go. We're sitting in the office. That's how we are. That's how it always starts, seems like. Wearing the PPE-rated safety equipment, which is the polo shirt and the blue jeans.
Still. Well, at what point were you like, maybe?
Maybe I need to put some more stuff on. Maybe I just get my own mesh. Just throw it on anytime everyone comes over to me. So anyway, so they said there's a problem out front here. Again, not telling you, medic, safety manager, you go look at it. So I walk out our door and there's two big doors that are glass that you swing out when employees go in and out of work.
Yeah, the employee entrance. Right.
And on the right side is there's glass and there's glass.
Yeah.
And
windows,
Yes, basically. Yeah. Somebody threw that glass and was in a confrontation in the
either shoved
lot.
Or threw.
Right. I don't know when I got there. All I knew is people were
glass
violent,
everywhere.
Glass everywhere. People trying to come in. Cars are stopped in the parking lot. No one knows what's going on. And there's just
individuals
fight.
Yes. On the floor or on the ground.
Yeah. There's a fight going on. And then one of them goes down to the ground and they're fighting. And you're like.
And there's blood everywhere from a bloodborne
issue. So from a safety person, you're dealing with multiple safety issues. I got parking lot. I got violence in the workplace. I've got. You know, glass, I got someone that's is having problems and medical issues, excuse me. And all of that, you're deciding first 15 seconds when you walk.
Well, and what can I do as a manager?
What can I legally do?
Can I touch anybody?
Yeah. How do I break this up? Can I get standing between them? What am I allowed down in the military?
It's the conscious versus the unconscious factor.
When that starts happening in the military, we were taught that because we were military, we couldn't harm civilians. So when I rode an ambulance, we would go to a house and there was a violence in the workplace issue or violence at home issue. You could protect the military person, but not the others. The point of it is, I had never had that kind of training.
Not at work.
In the civilian world.
No.
What are all the... Because you got to remember, I got car traffic and people getting out. And everybody's excited. And everybody's like, what's going on? Everybody's waiting part. And you're one manager with all this influx around you.
Well, the interesting part of that, too, is that at that time, people were not using cell phone cameras either.
That's correct.
So that was different. Good.
For those you know, we have to do a legal disclaimer.
So you want to make sure that you evaluate
your own place,
each situation, and get some training for the risk that could happen at your location. This is not all of these tactics apply no matter what's going on. So make sure that you're doing an evaluation.
That's
so
correct.
Legal disclaimer.
All right. So that's basically our top three. And let's do a bonus one. How about that? Okay. Let's do the one you would never think about.
Well, how did you close out? I want to know how you closed out the window.
I secured the scene. Had people get to block out the parking lot, had all the employees move away so that nobody else was around
stuff.
Me. We called the ambulance and we set up a path for the ambulance. We did call the cops to get them to come help. I knew them because of small towns. So they did perimeter control for us. They also stopped traffic on the road. And then they actually, we just had the people set down and just managed in that way. And then myself and the nurses medically treated the person was down. Ambulance got there, then we treated from there. But wait, so you have to calm that scene down. You have to bring it down and stop the buzz, is. You've got to slow down. So you start doing it in pods.
Well, you have to make sure that you don't put yourself in harm's way because then you're not helping anybody.
you will be excited, but you have to stay calm. You have to be clear.
That's easier said than done.
Yes, it's very hard to do. You walk in and your emotion wants to take, but you can't. You have to think about they're in a state of mind that they're not associating you with anything. That you've got to calm that situation.
Yeah, it's like they don't even see.
They don't see anything
in the periphery at all happening.
All right, so here's my bonus one. I had fun with today. So this thing here is called a cow.
Well, it's a bull, actually. Well, he's a longhorn.
But the point of it is I worked at a cattle plant. And one day they called the guy, the safety guy, and they're like, hey, you with the, rated shirt and pants, I guess. haven't bought meshed as I should. They said, you need to go out and to the production floor or the harvest floor. I'm like, okay. So I go out there and I open the door and there is people everywhere in equipment, people unconscious in front of me.
Laid out.
Seven of them. I mean, just a line of them.
Laid out. This particular,
animal had decided it was not his day. So he
wasn't his day to go.
So he
wasn't having it.
Walked through some people and made them unconscious.
I don't know that he walked. I think he probably.
I'm thinking he just took his pace, whatever it was. Anyway. So the point you need to know is when I open the door, he's right there about 20 feet in front of me. And he's like, hello.
And they're like, hey, Oklahoma.
Guy. Yeah. He's like,
hey, heard you can rope.
I'm like, I don't have a rope. I'm anything with me. What are you talking about? So I'm major plant on the production floor with this animal eyeballing me and everybody else looking at me like, glad we called the safety guy. I'm like,
no, let's pause for a minute because this was pre everyone wearing vests.
Absolutely. So we had a couple events, this one and another one at my location. And I was like, there's a thing called a rodeo. And for those you don't know, we go to the rodeos and stuff. But I was like,
they wear
vests for these kind of problems. And again, back to my outfit, I was like, why am I not wearing at least a vest or something? Because I'm getting ready to, I guess I could have tried to be a rodeo clown. I don't know, but
there's no barrel.
No, maybe he's looking at my outfit saying, that guy, let's go after him. But the point of it is that's the view I had. That may not sound like violence, but it was to me. It was to everybody else because that hurting a lot of people.
Yep. And as a safety person, you've got people up on equipment that's not supposed to be stood on.
The guarding's not really right. It's slick on parts of it. We got people that are unconscious. People are trying to, we're trying to get a medical assessment of them. We're trying to manage them.
I am so sorry.
Yeah. And so,
on the struggle bus.
Again, when you do your evaluation risk or your first aid CPR or your violence in the workplace, whatever category you want to put these into, You got to go back and think about what you're going to do real there. But,
and it's not what's happening at a sister location necessarily or what happened down the road. I think it's with your business, what's likely to happen or what is realistically something that could happen. I mean, yeah, it's always a risk that if you're at a cattle plant, you could have cow get out.
That happens.
You know,
they get out in fields all the time. So
didn't get them shackled right or whatever.
Right. You know? So you got to, you see, all we're saying is when you look at these events is step back, look at the training you gave people, because I didn't have a lot of training and all that stuff, and look at what you'd be expected to do and what you can't do.
And then look at the PPE too, because that's important to note. Yeah. So if you're having at your cattle location, everyone wears vests that's moving cattle.
Back in 2000,
you're welcome. Because that was Joe.
Yeah, 2000, we said, let's start putting vests on. And we started testing vests, and that was my job. I ordered a whole bunch of vests. We tried different kinds. We tried them on the floors. We tried them in the areas where all the livestock was. But we were trying to see what would be a better idea for situations like that, so that people wouldn't be in this. And now
everyone has a vest on that's working in that area.
But I mean,
that is cool.
But you don't.
Bet you would. You wished you would have had one that day.
I wish somebody would have brought up, hey, here's something. Take something with you. Not just, hey, go to the floor and go deal with this problem.
Well, and it wasn't calf. Either.
No, this thing is way bigger than this guy.
There's thousands of pounds. Yeah, so you don't realize if you haven't been around a lot of cattle how big they really are.
At his face. When you're looking at his face. And then basically we had to treat, I was part of all the crew. Treated all the people that were down.
Yep.
And then we had to look at what equipment could be. We had some people, hurt themselves a little bit when they jumped up on stuff. So you had all of these things. I mean, we're talking like 15 people were this animal took out. Because if you ever go to any locations, it's narrow where they are. So when they come out of the serpentine, there's not a lot of places to go. So the point to everybody is here, evaluate the risk you have at your location.
Yep.
Don't get caught up in everybody else's plants.
What are you manufacturing and what could happen with that?
That's great. And if you're going...
If you've got live animals, that should be one of them because they can be volatile.
If you're
going to
have knives, if you're going to have structure, if you're going to... But violence in the workplace can be anything and structures can be anything. But you just got to evaluate what you have and train your people, again, what you expect them to do and what you don't expect it. It's just important to tell people where the cutoff is.
Oh, yeah.
Because people...
Don't put yourself in harm's way.
Don't get in harm's way. Don't get your jobs to go home and be with your family, not get caught up in that cycle. So to close with this, stay calm.
Yep.
Breathe through it for a couple minutes. There's a stress episode we've done. You got to breathe through it because you have about 15 seconds that you're trying to decide how the next...
Well, and this really ties into the last 2 weeks of the security threats.
That's correct.
Because some of this can come from security. I mean, the first event you talked about, that was a security situation. Had we gotten a heads up, hey, this is going on, we could have stopped that individual at security before they came through the gate.
We let them get all the way through the plant and gave them a weapon, and they could have hurt anybody.
Yeah.
So it's just, would you manage this? Different ways to manage it. That's what we're looking at. All right. That's what I got today.
Happy Halloween, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
Take care. Have a great week.
Bye, Bones.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Safe, Efficient, Profitable, a Worker Safety Podcast. If you're looking for more in-depth discussions or step-by-step solutions on all of the different safety and regulatory topics, please visit us at www.allensafetycoaching.com for web-based virtual coaching and training, or at www.allen-safety.com to book our team for on-site services, training sessions, to order merchandise, to learn more about our team and what services we provide in the field, or just simply to request a topic for us to cover on our next podcast. If you found today's podcast helpful and would like to support our podcast further, please help us by subscribing, liking, and sharing this podcast with anyone that could benefit from the information we cover here, as that helps us to continue to put out this free content. Thank you so much for your support.